Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's life-giving word. And for this hour, my privilege is always to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the hour is a providentially timed one, given the events of the day. I am honored to have Mr. Trent Martin, who is the advocacy and training coordinator for an agency known as 21 Wilberforce. They are a group that ministers to the plight of our persecuted brethren. And in this current day, their work is no doubt of incalculable value. Trent, normally we would open the broadcast with a homily, but given the events of the day, I want to plow right into it. Welcome to our broadcast.
Thanks so much, Brad. It's a pleasure to be with you here today.
We are honored to have you, Trent. And I would ask, please, we're going to find out a bit more about you, a bit more about 21 Wilberforce during the course of the hour. But let's just get right into business. And can you give us any updates, please, concerning the plight of our brethren right now in Afghanistan?
Certainly. Well, as many of you have been seeing, the heartbreaking scenes coming out of Kabul and throughout Afghanistan, our heart goes out to all of our fellow Christian brothers and sisters in the nation that are facing these new challenges of the Taliban takeover and all of the religious minorities that are at very high risk of what's happening right now. We've heard the stories of the different Afghan and American evacuees that were able to make it out, but unfortunately, many of these persecuted minorities have been left behind, even the ones that are looking to get out of the country. Heard lots of reports of warnings where the Taliban has gone to the doors of many of these faith leaders and church buildings, and they've said, "We know who you are, and we know what you're doing." So they've been put on notice, and it's already been an incredibly dangerous place to live openly as a Christian in Afghanistan, even before the Taliban has taken over. Leaving Islam is considered shameful, and many of the estimated 10 to 12,000 Christians who've been estimated to live in Afghanistan are converts from Islam. And that is considered apostasy under the strict interpretation of this law. And many times Christian converts face dire consequences if their new faith is discovered. Sometimes they've had to flee the country or face killings. Historically, the nation was actually religiously diverse, but a vast majority of non-Muslims have fled after the Taliban took the country the first time in 1996. And now with the re-takeover of the Taliban, we are fearing that those numbers will plummet even more.
It is interesting, Trent, when you speak of the earlier diversity of the population. Yesterday, I was having a lovely meal at a rather renowned Jewish deli outside of Philadelphia. Interestingly, though it's a renowned Jewish deli, it is run by Christians, and the manager is a Lebanese Catholic, very gracious man. We were chatting. And there was a day, of course, when Lebanon was profoundly diverse, and Beirut itself was known as the Paris of the Middle East. And then the religious attentions erupted, with every respect, primarily coming from the Islamic side. And that's what we've seen play out now in Afghanistan. I realize that you cannot go into details, and I would never dream of trying to ferret any of that out. But I'm sure that Wilberforce, like ICC or Open Doors, you must have some communication with our brethren who are behind enemy lines now. What are they? It's a stupid question. What must they be feeling right now? I know your answer.
They really are feeling that their lives are under intense threat right now. They are feeling the pressure from the Taliban. As I had said, they've been receiving warnings directly from the Taliban. Many of them have been taking measures to prevent their discovery of the different things that they've taken. And you know, underneath the slightly increased freedom that they've had under this government that was recently overthrown, they were able to come out of the woodwork a little bit more. But unfortunately, that's made them a little bit more of a target as well, and more of public facing targets for this persecution. Now the Taliban has taken over. Well, we see them getting rid of different apps on their phone that might identify them as Christians, and even just turning off their cell phones and going underground to stay hidden and protected.
Well, having posed my thought by way of an interrogative, let me do so now with a declarative, a rhetorical one. But, you know, I remember back in medieval history when Genghis Khan was running rampant across the Eurasian steppe, and he would, like the Taliban, issue warning in order to inflict terror upon the European populace. And he would say something along these lines: "You know what I can do to you." And that's essentially what the Taliban is doing. They like to first inject terror into the hearts of their prospective victims. So our brethren right now, on the one level, live with a pall of terror hanging over them. By the same token, I've already been receiving reports myself of Christians who are reporting to their Americans via cellular technology that Christ is giving them a peace and a boldness. And even the children are going on record that they will not deny Jesus. I'm sure you're hearing a similar testimony, if you will.
Certainly. And you know, Brad, the persecuted church is always such an inspiration in many ways to our faith, and specifically these believers in Afghanistan who have faced, these are not fair weather Christians who have become Christians anyway in Afghanistan, even before the Taliban's takeover. These are people who knew the risks and knew that they very well may face death because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And they've known these risks, and they've still chosen to follow Jesus in this. And it's incredible to see that example of faith under fire, and how that's been even underneath that is being refined by this persecution. And we continue to stand with them in our prayers.
Trent, I can't speak cogently enough the respect that I have for such agencies of ministry as 21 Wilberforce, International Christian Concern, and you men and women who are in the field on their behalf. What must you be going through right now? Because your heart is so fully invested, already has been.
Yes, as you know, as I said, Brad, our hearts are breaking for the people of Afghanistan. We've really had seen some progress in the country, and it's very sad to see that that it's backsliding into this, and just to see the hear the pleas from our brethren that are looking to, who are in Kabul, you know, trying to flee the country and trying to get on an airplane, and some of them were able to make it, thank God, through the, but some of them weren't. And it's very disheartening to see that. But we do know that we have the hope in Christ, and they have our hope in Christ ultimately, that we will not have to suffer on this earth forever, but that our eternal hope will remain secure in Christ, no matter what the Taliban or anyone else can do to our mortal bodies.
Well, we both praise God. Trent, yeah. We both praise God, knowing that whatever we endure, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, I was sharing in Bible class earlier today, we're working through the book of Job, and we were sharing the fact that God wastes nothing, that he takes even our sufferings and he applies them to our advantage. On the one hand, we can sound very glib, those of us who are speaking these words in the safe haven of the other side of the world. That doesn't make it any less true. And in my case, 2 years ago, I underwent a major cardiac ordeal. I nearly died, truly, was within 1 hour of death. And I know how God pulled me through. I know what I learned from that ordeal. And so without meaning to sound glib, when we all get to heaven, the conversations we will have with our Afghan brethren and how they will be giving glory to God, it will be extraordinary. That is the blessed flip side of this horrible travesty right now.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn, used to always say, as, you know, not even somebody who lived through the horrors of persecution, who lived through a concentration camps in Russia, that, you know, you can have everything taken away from you and externally, but, you know, this is a paraphrase, but when you've been robbed of everything, you're no longer in the power of the state or of the persecutor. And you know, ultimately we have that hope in Christ, and we have that both in this life and in the life to come.
Trent, I'm going to give you another Solzhenitsyn quote on the other end of the commercial divide. God bless you all for listening. Brad Lacey and Trent Martin, the advocacy and training coordinator for 21 Wilberforce, a wonderful ministry on behalf of persecuted Christians around the world. Trent, you were quoting Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I remember in my earlier years when I was reading through that massive three-volume tome, The Gulag Archipelago, and in the middle of the second volume, he talks about his coming to faith in that tiny little prison cell, and how, notwithstanding the fact that he was imprisoned in this small space, he came to know freedom within that incarcerated status because the Lord had entered his life. Praise God. But Solzhenitsyn said something else. He said it in the late 1970s, judging by your appearance. I don't think you had made the scene yet. I was in high school, and if I'm not mistaken, he spoke these words at the Harvard commencement address. And you can imagine how the Harvard dons responded to and received his remarks. But I quote, this was 40 plus years ago. The forces of evil have begun their final offensive. And from what I can see, Trent, they've only become more formidable still 45 or more years later. Your ministry takes you into the thick of this. So I'd like for you to share, I'd be obliged, sir, if you would share something of 21 Wilberforce. What are you? When did you get started? What is the length and breadth of your ministry?
Definitely. Well, 21 Wilberforce is a Christian human rights organization. We were founded in 2015 and dedicated to defending the universal rights of religion and belief for all people. Our vision is to really not only to support and to advocate for people who are facing persecution around the world for their beliefs, but to also empower and collaboratively work together with other nonprofits, with persecuted communities themselves, even to mobilize for change. We took our name from someone who you may be familiar with, the 19th century British parliamentarian William Wilberforce.
One of the great heroes of Western civilization.
Indeed, indeed. And he was one of the, his proposition, of course, was to ensure a more just society through the end of the slave trade, but also to ensure a more Christian ethic throughout the society as well, too, and promoting true justice throughout England at the time. Following his model of successful abolition movement, which used a top-down, bottom-up approach. So we really look at advocating both on a high government level, advocating at Congress, advocating with the State Department and various international agencies as well. We're now accredited through our partnerships at the UN as well, and working with that top-down level of letting our decision makers know what's happening, but also on a grassroots bottom-up strategy of mobilizing different communities through partnerships and grassroots empowerment.
You know, Trent, you mentioned William Wilberforce. He was, of course, a devout Christian who devoted his life to the abolition of slavery throughout the United Kingdom or the British Empire. But something strikes me. Wilberforce was also a great lover of animals. In fact, like Churchill, animals would roam freely through his home. And when we've just learned that for whatever deranged and frightful reason, the American military command ordered that the service dogs not be taken to safety. They were left behind in Kabul. William Wilberforce, he would be vomiting if he knew that. His humane nature spanned such a broad, comprehensive scope. He would just be so distraught by that, as many of us are. But I'm not looking to draw us per se into a political discussion, but simply to accentuate the nature and character of the man after whom your agency is named. Now, you're applying yourselves more broadly, so you're not zeroing in specifically or decidedly upon Christians. You're covering the wider gamut of religious intolerance, much like Jubilee does. Am I right?
That's correct, yeah. Yes.
Jubilee campaign. Tell me, who amongst the Western leaders, whether American or British or continental, who are the individuals who are most warmly disposed to what you're trying to do?
Definitely. Well, we actually have had some great engagement from champion from the U.S. We've really been thrilled with the amazing work that our comrades do at the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. They're an incredible group of volunteer. Well, they're appointed, but they do not receive a paycheck. And work that they do there at the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, highlighting persecution around the world, traveling to these places to really speak up for these people. You know, we've had great engagement for the International Religious Freedom Office of our State Department has continued to champion this and really build multilateral collaboration around the world. We've seen the new International Religious Freedom Freedom of Religion or Belief Alliance actually formed recently over the last few years. And that's been a very encouraging development of different groups and nations from around the world coming together to unite for religious freedom.
And Trent, speaking of around the world, can you pinpoint or highlight areas of the globe where you know that your labor and the labor of your colleagues has truly made a difference?
Definitely. Well, one case I would bring up is our work for a prisoner of conscience in Nepal. Last year we worked together with really on that top-down, bottom-up approach of advocating for this prisoner who was a pastor, Pastor Keshav, in Nepal, who was arrested simply for praying against COVID-19 and was thrown in jail, taken to a remote mountain prison far away from his family. And we were able to help work with our partners to raise his case at the UN and to submit a universal periodic review that included his case along with others. And then also work together to help support him and to help provide for some of the physical needs and lawyer needs of his case and unite him with other organizations that were able to support him.
Well, I praise God to hear it. And without wishing to sound cynical, what did the Nepalese authorities want? For him to be praying for COVID to spread? You know, it's so irrational, but it's the nature of sin. It's the nature of satanic stratagem. It's just beyond ridiculous, but there it is. All the more we thank God that men and women like yourself, your colleagues, I mean, I just think it's some of the finest work that is currently playing out, and you receive very little public attention. So you keep at it, brother. Trent Martin and Brad Lacey, we will return with the great message, another round, on the other side of the commercial break. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Trent Martin, who is the advocacy and training director of 21 Wilberforce. We return for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Trent, I will definitely be inviting you back onto the broadcast. I want to learn more and more of 21 Wilberforce. But I also want our audience to learn something of yourself. You're a young man. You're a devout and devoted young man. And quite frankly, you are one to be esteemed. The work that you are doing is, to my mind, unparalleled and of such essential service to God's children. Tell us about yourself. How did you first and foremost come into faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, I was blessed to have been raised and been taught the faith through my family. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I made the decision to follow Christ when I was 6 years old. I was very, very young when I came to the faith originally. But even then, God had really placed on my heart from reading different missionary stories and other things to really have a heart for the persecuted church and to want to serve where the gospel isn't always welcome and to see where especially with China, God had really placed a burden on my heart for the people of China.
Well, Trent, when did you become aware? Because my generation, I attended seminary, Gordon Conwell Theological, in the mid-80s. I attended Gordon College in the early 80s. We were not, in those days, aware of the plight of the persecuted. When did you become vitally aware?
Yeah, it was through several different missionaries that I was involved with through my church that had came and spoken at several different Sundays that were able to there. And then I was also an avid reader growing up. I got any book I could get my hands on was read. And I've read stories by famous heroes of the faith like Adoniram Judson, who spread Christianity to Myanmar, to Hudson Taylor, who spread it to China. And did amazing, incredible work there. So those stories really did inspire me to learn more about what's happening around the world.
Well, just a little aside that will intrigue you. Adoniram Judson was commissioned out of Malden, Massachusetts. I hail from Everett, Massachusetts, which is adjacent to Malden. My dad was an attorney in Malden, and my mother was the secretary to the superintendent of schools in Malden, Massachusetts. So I come from Judson territory, to be sure. And praise God, didn't he labor some 6 years, much of which was spent chained to a prison cell before he saw his first convert?
Yes.
That's extraordinary.
Is
extraordinary.
Incredible. And we work with Baptists in Burma today who are, the direct fruit of his labor.
That so is
it's
correct.
Really incredible.
That is correct. How did you find yourself hooking up with 21 Wilberforce?
Yeah, so I've always had a passion for justice as well, along with 21 Wilberforce, I've had justice for here at home for all people and abroad as well, and that God brought a really unique path into my life of kind of combining this passion for missions work and also for ministry with this passion for using governmental institutions and society for to ensure justice for those who are facing oppression. And 21 Wilberforce really is a unique ministry and many of our other partner organizations that are united in this unique area right here that works for this. And my background, I've also worked with some other human rights advocacy organizations. I've worked with the organization Boat People SOS, which is a Vietnamese American advocacy organization. as well. And then I've transitioned into this role as advocacy and training coordinator with 21 Global Force.
Now, in our preliminary conversation that we shared prior to the broadcast, just to become better acquainted and to share prayer, you were using the phrase that 21 Wilberforce is a small agency that punches above its weight, which intrigues me. I pastor a small church, and I know how God uses us. So I praise God for small churches and for small ministries. It doesn't mean that our fruitfulness is not large, if not huge, for the kingdom of God. You know, there's the story, and I'm going to streamline it because I don't want to take up too much time. But there's the story of a petite, older, white-haired man who used to hand out tracts at the bus depot on George Street in Sydney, Australia. He did it every day for many years, never knew that it had any effect. He was punching above weight. He was one man. And through circumstances I won't go into right now, it's worthy of a discourse on another broadcast. Shortly before he died, God gave him insight into the numbers of people who came to know the love of Christ because of those daily issuances of tracts as they got off the bus on George Street in Sydney, Australia. It will be extraordinary when you and I are in the fullness of the kingdom. I love the theological word parousia. And we get to find out the fruit of our labor. I think, Trent, they're going to be toasting champagne to you, you know, and your colleagues. 21 Wilberforce, I think you said at the beginning of the broadcast, began in something like, what, 2015?
Mm-hmm. That's correct,
okay,
yes.
And no doubt, though you remain small yet potent, your scope of ministry, your contacts, has grown considerably.
Certainly. We've really been able to have an outsized impact on persecution and empowering different communities by our partnerships. We're all about collaboration here at 21 Wilberforce.
I think we have to be today, don't we?
We need to stand with each other as fellow believers and with those who are also working towards the same goals of international religious freedom. We partner with many different organizations from many different backgrounds of faith and belief to really advocate for this fundamental right and to be witnesses, for the belief that we have that all people are created in the image of God and have inherent human dignity and are given that by God and cannot be taken away by man. We also work very strongly on young leader empowerment as well, and that's a big future generations impact that I think will really have some of the deepest impacts of our work going.
You know, Trent, you speak of the value of all life. I serve as president of a small ministry called the Philadelphia Bible Society. We exist to freely distribute the Word of God. We produce our own booklets and tracts and leaflets. And we have a leaflet that we especially designed about 2 years ago. And the title of the leaflet is The title of the leaflet is Created Life Matters. All that God created, He deemed to be good. And every single man, woman, or child is made in the image of God, an image that may be sullied and distorted by sin, but an image that abides nevertheless. Tell me, Trent, what kind of support do you get from local churches? How much awareness is there? I mean, where does your heart long to see it go?
Yeah, well, you know, I would always love to see the local churches get more involved in these issues, and we have had great partnerships with different groups here in the States and around the world. We work closely with different churches to give them the tools to give direct advocacy, whether that's contacting their representatives in Congress, or whether that's praying for specific persecuted communities, financially supporting 21 Wilberforce. Wilberforce's work, or, you know, really writing letters sometimes even to these persecuted communities, jailers or governments, you know, to really put pressure on for this. So, but I really do have a heart though, Brad, to see the American church stand up and really not forget our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ who are imprisoned, who are suffering for the faith around the world. I mean, that's a command directly from, you know, the Bible to remember our brothers and sisters who are imprisoned.
Let me encourage you. A number of years ago, it would have been about 10 years back, what your colleague over at Open Doors, then ICC, Isaac Six, visited my church with, I won't name names or countries, but visited my church with a pastor from a nation in which persecution was an issue. And we took them out to lunch later, had a lovely time with them. And I just want you to know that to this day, you know, people don't always remember specific sermons that preachers have preached. They may remember the general tenor, maybe this one sermon in a lifetime. Well, this particular pastor from the other side of the world preached a message, and I'm still hearing talk about it today. And so he helped both Isaac and that pastor help to awaken the interest of my people on behalf of persecuted brethren. But Trent, we have one more round, so you and I want to make that one more round count, okay? I know you'll do your part. I'll have to keep a pace. Brad Lacey and Trent Martin, with the great message, we return for one final round. Brad Lacey, returning with Trent Martin, who is the Advocacy and Training Director of 21 Wilberforce, a wonderful ministry on behalf of our persecuted brethren around the world. We return for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Trent, we've been talking about 21 Wilberforce. We've been talking about the need and desire for the local church to be more invested. I am curious, you obviously are invested somewhere in local fellowship. Where might that be?
Yeah, so I am a member of the Anglican Church here in Arlington, right outside of D.C., named Restoration. So Restoration Anglican, it's a great small church, and we have done some great work here in D.C. As well, and you know, local ministry so vitally important as well. So that's where I am currently.
Now let me ask you. Normally, I would, in a very indiscriminate way, speak of an Anglican church, but incorporating or actually meaning an Episcopalian church. Is there a distinction for you?
There is.
I was thinking there was.
Yeah, so, you know, historically, the Anglican Church was the Church of England, and you know, still is in England, and the Episcopal Church was the branch off when the Revolutionary War happened, of the split off from that. Recently, the Anglican Church has we've rejoined some churches here in America have rejoined the Anglican Church and have from the Episcopal Church due to different theological differences as well.
I'd be with you to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's always unfortunate when things, yeah, you know, have to divide, but I've really loved the Anglican Communion. It's such an incredible worldwide body too, as well. For a while, we were underneath some African bishops who are really, really incredible servants of Christ over in Africa. And recently, there is now its own diocese here in America and structure. But it's really great to have that worldwide communion though.
Trent, a few years ago at our evening prayer gathering, we had an Anglican monk join us. I think he was a little disappointed. He was a lovely man, but we were praying more Baptistic style, and I think he was anticipating a bit more contemplative opportunity. In fact, it's actually led me to give consideration to starting a more contemplative service. We actually have, our Baptist morning service, and we now have a small African Pentecostal body that meets in the afternoons. They're obviously more lively, and it's beautiful. But I'm thinking that we also need, for offset and balance, a more contemplative. I've even begun to structure one. But that being said, brother, I would love to offer a word of prayer with you on behalf of our persecuted brethren, especially right now, our brethren in Afghanistan. And on the other end of my prayer, I'd like to open it to you for whatever comes from your heart, because again, I know your heart is heavy and must be bursting. So join me in prayer, please, and we invite the audience to join us. Heavenly, holy, and sovereign Father, you reign over all, having created everything and given life to everyone. You have borne witness to the life and history of humankind for thousands of years, dating back to our reception of life's breath, our traumatic and tragic fall from your benevolent presence as we plunged into sin all the way down to this present day. We have disappointed you. We have grieved you. We have stirred you to wrath and evoked your compassion. You have forgiven us, reached down to us, saved and delivered us. And now you convict and equip and comfort and teach and use and, yes, still prepare us. You gave us Jesus. Thank you and bless you for Jesus. But right now, Father, we are grieved and we are grieving. We may be grieving the dramatic decline of American power and prestige, but you remain on your throne as sovereign judge. We grieve the loss of 13 American service members, as well as upwards of 20 injured, a travesty that need never have happened. We grieve with their loved ones. Lord, have mercy. We grieve the plight of women and children, of educated men and women, of allied men and women who now face a nightmarish reality of dark and lethal power let loose at large in Afghanistan. Lord, have mercy. We even grieve the abandonment of service dogs, man's proverbial best friends, who served alongside of our soldiers and who would have died for any of them. Lord, have mercy. I know that Trent and I and countless others are grieving the plight and Paul hanging over our beloved brethren who are Christians in that horribly plighted land. They are marked by monsters for death because of their devotion to you. We ask you to immerse yourself deeply into their souls with all requisite peace, the kind that defies earthly understanding, the likes of which more than offset the troubles of this world, the very stuff that successfully guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We ask you to lace a huge and formidable hedge of angelic protection around each man, woman, or child of your kingdom, as we ask you to thwart the Taliban and to slay evil. We ask you, dear Father, that whatever sacrifice they are called upon to pay, they will know that it be in vain, as martyr's blood is the fertilizer of your kingdom on this earth. And we ask you to bless those like Trent and his colleagues who minister on behalf of our persecuted loved ones, that they will be afforded all encouragement, all strength, all provision, as well as doors that will be open, giving way to minds and hearts on the part of governing leaders, especially our own. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Trent, final thoughts, please, from your heart.
Yes. Well, as we've shared today, our hearts really do go out to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan and around the world who are facing this persecution. And the verse that really is always on my heart, Brad, and has been one of my life verses, really, is one that we had actually briefly mentioned earlier from Romans 8. Where Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I just really cling to that verse and that truth of eternal significance. And I pray that would be very real to our brothers and sisters who are facing persecution throughout the world. And that also you, as our listeners, would be willing to speak up for them as well.
Well, I can assure you, brother, it's going to happen from this microphone more and more. I can assure you, if you're willing to return, you will be invited back.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Brad. It's been a pleasure.
Well, praise God. Mr. Trent Martin of 21 Wilberforce and Brad Lacey with the great message, we bid you the blessings and the calling of Christ. Amen. And have a blessed day.